حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا أنصار الله. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
We are discussing regarding the people that Imam Ali alayhi salam dealt with in his reign as the Khalifa of the Muslims. And these are six distinct groups of people that he describes. And we went through one, we are doing the second one, which I want to wrap up right now and go inshallah into the third group. The second group are the people that are inept, ineffective, lazy, not having a strong resolution, not having a strong resolve to do things. And Imam Ali describes them in different places. In different places, he describes them in Nahjul Balagha as to who these people are. What are these people? And so here, in khutbah number 68, we'll go through these last attributes that he described them as. And then we see from there. He says, هَمْ أُدَارِيكُمْ هَمَا تُدَارَ الْبِكَارَ الْعَمِدَ. He said that, how long should I take care of you? Like the taking care of a camel that has a hollow hump. You see, hollow hump is a disease that the animals, they have. And what it means is that it's hollowed out so that now, because of this disease, you cannot put any weight on its back. You can't put anything on its back because it's in pain. And there is nothing there. So now what happened? The owner of the camel is left with no choice but to feed this camel, take care of it, without it being useful for the owner. And Imam Ali gives the example of this person. Of this example, he says, you know, how long do I take care of you? I'm just feeding you, helping you, and you are no use for the cause of Allah. You see that? You're no use for the cause of Allah. I mean, what kind of people are you? Right? I mean, outwardly you're healthy. You're good. You're healthy. But the sickness in you is such that you are no use to Allah's deen. Right? Because as we mentioned yesterday, that when it comes, right, to talk, they are big. When it comes to actions, they are
small. Tiny.
Small.
Tiny.
And then he gives another example. He says, or you're like the clothes which are worn out. Like, you're like the clothes that are worn out, so that when you stitch one side of the clothes, right, if it's ripped, you stitch that side and you straighten it out, then the other side is ripped. And you have to go and stitch that side. In other words, what it means, the example means, is that your whole, you're so weak that when I try to fix one of your problems, you come up with another problem. Another issue. And when I go to fix that issue, you come up with another excuse. Right? No matter how much I encourage you to do something, no matter how much I inspire you to do something, you see, you come up with an excuse. When I answer that excuse, I say, all right, you know, the reason you don't do this is because of this. Okay, let me take care of that. Right? Then the next day you come with another excuse. Well, I have this excuse and I can't do it. Now you go and try to fix that excuse. Now they come up with another excuse. In other words, they don't want to work. Right? They don't want to do Allah's work. They're trying to run away from you. Because usually what happens is that, for example, you have this one brother, right? You ask a brother, for example, that, you know what, you know, I need to, for example, I need to do this work. He says, yeah, sure, no problem, let's do it. You know? And then, you know, we say it's important because it's Allah's work, and we do it, they say, yeah, oh yeah, you're right, you know. This is, alhamdulillah, you know, reward, akhirat, and everything, he understands everything. So now when the day of work comes, you know, I'm waiting there and he doesn't show up. That, call him, what happened? Oh, you know what, you know, I couldn't get the day off. Alright, that's good. You know, well, you know, when are you off? I'm off on that day. Alright, let's do it on that day. Now when that day comes and, you know, I'm waiting for him and he doesn't come, and I said, you know, what happened today? Well, you know what, I'm sick. Okay. Okay, let's wait until you're not sick, you know, and we'll do it. Now we go on and we wait for another day for that thing to happen. Now when I ask him again, all right, are you okay now? No work today? He said, yeah, there's no work today, not that. Okay, you know, so are you able to come? Well, actually, you see, you know, my wife, you know, wants me to do something else today. And obviously, you can't argue with your wife, you know, so. So now what happens at the end? The reason these excuses are coming is because he doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to do it. Imam Ali is saying, you're like the old cloth, worn out cloth, that I try to stitch one place. If it rips one place, I try to stitch it. Now you see another side is ripped. Now I go there and stitch it, another side is ripped. Meaning you always make up excuses for not doing Allah's work. You know, for not doing Allah's work. This is one of the qualities of those people who are in this group. They make excuses to run away from work and jihad and hard work. And here we see that, for example, Imam Ali says that when a group of people, when an army or a small contingent of an army appears before you from Sham, right? You are like the lizard that hides itself in the hole. You know, I mean, you're like a lizard that when it sees any danger, boom, you see the best place for it to hide, it is in its hole. It goes in its hole and it's relaxed.
Spider hole.
You know? Let the hurricane pass by and I'm sitting inside. Right? I sit inside, right? Let all the troubles pass by and then I'll come out. It won't come out to face the problems. You see, a person really has to be like in this regard. Imagine when tough time comes, those who are believers, they come out to face those problems and solve those problems. But these group of people are who? The ones that when hard time comes, they run away and hide and hope that the hard times will go away. You know, but you see that these sort of hard times do not go away. They will, they are going to grow on you. They are going to become harder and make your life worse, because it's like a disease that's inside of you. It won't go away unless you treat it. If you don't treat it, it's just going to grow. Cancer is just going to grow. You have to confront the cancer and then treat it in order for it to go away. But you see, these people do not do that. They hide hoping that it's going to go away. This is one of their characteristics. Right? Then here you see, Imam Ali says, "Al-Dalil, wallahi, man nasartumuhu." Humiliated is he whose helpers are you. He will be dalil, he will be disgraced, who has you as helpers. Because every time he wants to do something, you see that when the work gets harder, you run away and he will be left alone, right, in the midst of enemies. So having helpers like you is no help at all. I mean, helpers like you is no help at all, because when the tough time comes, you run away. And I'm standing here all alone, and you know what? To depend on you is foolish. Why would anyone depend on you? And this also Imam Ali says. Yeah. He says, I have learned not to depend on you. I have learned through my experience that I don't depend on you. I do not have any hope from you. You see? This is that group of people. He says that. Now he says, إِنَّكُمْ وَاللَّهِ لَكَثِيرٌ فِي الْبَاحَاتِ قَلِيلٌ تَحْتَ الرَّايَاتِ. He says, you are in your living rooms in big numbers. You know, bahat is like, for example, a yard in the house. Bahat? Yes. Yes, like the hookah places.
Yes.
In hookah bars, you are in large numbers. And you sit there in large numbers. You know, when you have to talk and enjoy and have a hookah, you know, you are, for example, in big numbers. You know, big numbers. And when it comes for you to come under the sun,
yes,
very rarely we can find you. You know, you are few, handful. You see, this is how Imam Ali, you see how he's describing this group of people. He's saying that this is a useless group of people. They cannot help you, even though they will say it. Because when they sit in the hookah bar, you see they solve the problems of the whole world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it feels that, you know, for example, these people should be in charge of the government.
They talk a good game.
And these people should be there.
They talk a good game.
You know, and you know what? You know, these people are going to talk and all that. But when it comes to hard work, when it comes to jihad, when it comes to be working under the sun and in hardships, you see, few people will be found there. And you all run away. The fact is that you cannot count on these people. That's what Imam Ali is trying to explain. He says, you cannot count on these people. These people, they are... that, for example, as Imam Ali is saying, لَا تَعْرَفُونَ الْحَقِّ. Right? كَمَا عَرَفَتِكُمْ الْبَاطِلِ. He says, you don't know the truth like you know batil.
Why
he says that, you know, and I want you to understand why he said this, you know, and understand this, you know.
They know the roads of batil.
You know? Because here Imam Ali is saying that, you know, I can fix you. I know the way to fix you. You see, I know the way to make you right. Right? I know the way to make you right. But he's saying, Wallahi la ara islahakum bi ifsad nafsi. He says, but I cannot make you right by hurting my own self.
Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah.
I know how to make you right. I know your type. And I know how to make you right.
Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein.
What happens, right? When you look at it. When you look at this, you see, Imam Ali is saying, hey, listen, your type of people only listen to force.
Mm-hmm. They need a Saddam.
Only listen to compulsion. I know how to correct you. I know how to correct you. I mean, you know, on the other side, you see Maavia, how his people are so, you know, obedient to him. You know, he knows how to do it too. Right? Maavia does it. Right? But Imam Ali is saying, but in order for me to do that, I have to destroy my Islam.
Ya Allah. Ya Allah.
I have to destroy my Islam. Meaning I have to do something un-Islamic in order to make you right. If I also take a stick and beat it on your head, trust me, you are going to be obedient. You know, you're going to be obedient. But you know what? If I do that, I destroy my own nafs.
Teach us.
I destroy my own nafs by doing that. And hence, I will not do that. I will not hurt my... I will not destroy my Islam. I will not destroy myself before Allah for that. No. Just in order that you become obedient. No.
No way.
And I'm advising you that you become obedient because of the fear of Allah. Not because of my fear. You see, this is the difference between a true imam and a false imam. Muawiyah, and even when you go back, you see, they said that in the rule of Umar, people were so scared of him that they wouldn't do anything to disobey him.
Ya Allah.
You know, they won't do anything to disobey him. You know, because if you look at his way, you will see. Even when his sister became Muslim, he tortured her.
Ya Allah.
He tortured her when she became a Muslim. This was before he became a Muslim. When his own sister became Muslim, he tortured her. Because she was reciting the ayat of the Quran. Imagine this. So with an attitude like that, you see that the rumor spreads that this guy is merciless. Right? That this guy is so strict that if you do something wrong, he is going to wrong you in some way or the other. He's going to punish you. You see? But when it came to Imam Ali, they knew that Imam Ali would not cross the bounds of Islam. They know that this leader doesn't cross the bounds of Islam. That's why that leader who fought all the brave men in the Arab world, he fought all the brave men in the Arab world. You see that in his own kingdom, in his own rule, as he is the ruler, you see, people are arguing with him. People are arguing with him. They're saying, oh, who are you? And what is this? And none of that. He's allowing that to happen. He doesn't hurt them. Right? He doesn't harm them. No. Why? Because the fact is that the role of the Muslims, right? The role of a leader is to raise the people, not to force them to become obedient. A leader like Ali, and you see people are arguing with him. That's why Imam Ali had said that all the rulers in the world, you see, when you hear of oppression, you see rulers oppress their subjects. But in the case of Ali, he's saying, I'm the only ruler who has been oppressed by his subjects.
Ya Allah.
that the people under him have oppressed me. He says, you as my ra'iyat, as my subjects, have oppressed me. You know? Because the fact is that there is no dhulm, there is no injustice. There is no compulsion and force. Islam doesn't grow that way. Islam grows through teaching. Islam grows through raising the awareness of people. That's how Islam grows. And that's the reason Imam Ali says that you do not recognize the truth like you know the batil. Meaning you're obedient to the batil because you know that the batil is going to slap you in the face. But the truth will not slap you until you die. See, the truth will not slap you until you die. So you are happy with these long hopes that, you know what? When we die, we don't even know what will happen. So you have no faith in the hereafter. That's why you obey the batil. You don't obey the truth. Right? You don't obey haq because of this. Well, here we will end about the group, right, which is this group. This is a group that was a problem for Imam Ali all along. They were with him, under his flag, by his side, but they were a nuisance for him because they disobeyed him. They would never do what he says, and they would create fitna in his own ranks. And hence what happens, this is a group that Imam Ali condemned, and he gave the characteristics so we can understand, are we this group or not? So inshallah, now we go to the third group. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
Third group of people are different than these group of people that we just discussed about.
Lord of mercy, these are wicked people.
Now, these people that we discussed about were the, you know, were those people who were with Imam Ali in all the battlefields, everywhere Imam Ali went, they were with him, but they created problems for him that Imam Ali is describing. Now, the third group of people are the sleepers. They are the people who are neither with Ali nor Muawiyah nor anywhere else. They sit at home. They are those who sit at home and they don't get involved in any of these things. Neither haq nor batil. They say, you know, it's better just to keep away from these things. Right? They're called the qaideen, of those who sit at home. Right? And these people, you know, are happy in the fact that, you know what, we will pray, we will fast, alhamdulillah, we do our things, and we are not involved in these politics. Right? And in their minds, they think that, alhamdulillah, we are doing a good thing because we are not involved in these things. And hence, we are not in the bad books of anyone. Right? We are not in the bad books of Allah, we are not in the bad books of shaitan. You know, so we don't have to be afraid of Allah, or we don't have to be afraid of shaitan. You know, and the fact is that these are the people who sit at home and are irrelevant to the truth. And before even Imam Ali spoke of these people, it is Allah who spoke of them first in the Quran. You know, Allah speaks of these people who sit at home and do not come to the aid of haq and truth.
Teach us.
You know, Allah speaks of it in Surah At-Tawbah. I'll just go through this today, and from tomorrow we will see what Imam Ali said about them. Right? About these people. Right? But right now, you know, when we see this group of people, we see in Surah At-Tawbah that these people are those who, when the Prophet is going to the battlefield and he has made jihad wajib on all the men, they come to him and seek permission that if you give us the permission, would we, can we sit down this battle. You know, if you allow us to do so. I mean, at least they were, in those days, at least they had the decency to ask the Prophet. Nowadays, they don't ask anyone, they just sit. Right? In those days, they had the courtesy to ask the Prophet this. Right? They come to him and they ask him. Right? Can we sit down? And they do sit down, they did not come with the Prophet. So now Allah is speaking to the Prophet in this chapter. He's saying, استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم. He's saying, if you ask forgiveness for them, or you don't ask forgiveness for them, even if you ask forgiveness, O Prophet, if you ask forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah is not going to forgive them.
Ya Allah. That's one thing about Allah.
Allah is not going to forgive them. Right? بِأَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Because they rejected Allah and His Messenger.
Ya Allah.
Right? And Allah is saying, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِ الْقَوْمِ الْحَاسِقِينَ Allah does not guide those who are fasiq, like wicked sinners. And then when they are allowed by the Prophet to sit down, so they go and فَرِحَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ بِمَقْعَدِهِمْ خِلَافَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ When they are allowed to sit down, they are happy. They go and they congratulate one another, right, on the fact that they are sitting down and they are not in that battle and they don't have to face death and these things. And here he is saying they congratulate each other on going against the Messenger of Allah. Right? Khilafa Rasulullah. That they have gone against the Prophet. Right? Karehu an yujahidu. They dislike jihad. To struggle with their wealth and themselves in Allah's way. So Allah here, He's giving a quality of these people. They do not like to struggle with their wealth or their selves. They don't like it. They like to keep it. They are happy the way they are. These are people who have become used to comfort. People who have happy with their way of life that, you know what, I am in my own comfort zone. I don't want to be disturbed. My mind is just, you know what, this is it, this is where I like to be. I don't want this, I don't want that, I want to keep away from everything. Right? So, when Allah and the Messenger call them, they are like, if you allow us, we'll sit down. Right? Now what is the Prophet going to do? Right? You know, you come to him and ask him for permission to sit down. Right? He says, no, you can't sit down, you know? You know, here you see the character of Rahmatan Lil Alameen. Right? You know that he is not going to say that, oh, okay, 100 lashes for him. I mean, now, imagine this situation as compared to if it was Muawiyah. And you go to Muawiyah and say, you know, that I want to sit down this battlefield. Oh, okay. Damn. Right? And the next thing you know, the guy has disappeared. You know, obviously they're not going to go to Muawiyah and ask them this question. They're going to go to the Prophet because they know that the Prophet will not do injustice. He will not do wrong to them. They take advantage of him. So that's why Allah is telling the Prophet, you can ask for their forgiveness. I won't forgive them. You can ask for their, I know your heart. But you know what? I know the reality. You let them go because of your kind-heartedness. But I know that in reality, these people are kuffar and they have rejected me. That's why when they will come to me, then they will know what their sitting meant. You know? So these people here, you see, the Prophet and the Imams, they're not harsh to them. Right? They're not harsh to them. And now, here, right, these people who sit down and are congratulating each other because they disobeyed the Messenger of Allah, now they say to each other, وَقَالُوا لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرْبِ. He says, don't go out in the heat. Right? They tell others, don't go out in the heat, it's too hot. You know? It's too hot. Right? Then what happens? Then Allah says, "Qul naru jahannama ashaddu harran." The hellfire is harder. Hellfire is harder. You are not going to the battlefield because of heat, because of the hot sun, and you are afraid that you're going to get a tan. Is that what you fear? So now what happens? Allah is saying, in reality, the fire of hell is much harder. It is much harder than what you can imagine it to be. But you know what? The Prophet, he looks at them. These people are saying, you know, please, if you allow us, we'll stay. The Prophet is kind-hearted. He's saying, you know, Allah is saying, you know, I know you. I sent you as a mercy to them. I sent you as a mercy to them, and I expect you to do that. But when they come to me, do not let them have this idea that they're going to have the same treatment from me. Right? They're going to have the same, they're not going to have the same treatment with me. Because I know their reality. The reason they sat down is not because of the heat, it's because they rejected me.
Yes.
So Allah is saying the qa'idin are in reality those who reject Allah, those who do kufr and are fasiq. Even though they are not doing something that is haram. Here, apparently there is no haram they are doing. They are not drinking alcohol, they are not doing zina, they are not doing anything wrong. They are just sitting at home away from jihad, away from the battlefield. With their wives and kids. Now what's wrong with that? That's such a rosy picture. I mean, what's wrong with that? If I sit at home with my wife and kids and have a good time at home, what's wrong with that? See, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it if there is no hukum of jihad at that time. Allah wants you to sit at home with your wife and kids. Spend time with them. But when the time for jihad comes, when the time comes to do work for Allah, then to sit there in order to avoid this, Allah is saying is kufr. The same thing that Allah recommended you to do, if you do it at the time when the Prophet is calling you for jihad, then the same thing becomes kufr. Now, you see, those people who were a nuisance to the Imam, right? They were a nuisance. But when they died, you know, when they died, you see that, for example, Imam Ali, he prayed on them. You know, maybe he visited their graves. These are people who were a nuisance to the Imam. The one that we just discussed, the group we just discussed. They were a problem for that. They were always opposing the Imam. Now, with them, you see Imam Ali and the rest of the Imams, they did not, for example, do that which Allah now is telling the Prophet to do with those who are sitting down. Now, as we go on, he says, Allah says to the Prophet now, with those people who sit down in their homes and do not come with you, he says, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. Never pray when they die on them. Never pray on them when they die.
Kufa.
When these people who sit at home, this is what they are going to get. Prophet, do not pray on them when they die. When they die, do not pray on them because they sit away from the truth. This is what's going to happen. Those who were with the truth and arguing with Imam Ali were not treated this badly. At least they were there. With whatever face they came with, you know, with whatever attitude they came, they were there. They were with Imam Ali. They were with him. At least if, you know what? Here's what happens. Imam Ali knows that the truth does not need anyone. Right? But because these people are there, the enemies will look at this bunch of people and say there are a lot of people there. See, the enemy doesn't believe that the truth doesn't need anyone. The enemy believes in numbers. See, the enemy believes in numbers. So at least these people who were a problem for Imam Ali, by being with Imam Ali, they made an image in the mind of the enemies that the truth has some strength. You see, but those who sat at home, they didn't even afford that image to the truth. They didn't even give that support to the truth that they at least stand over there and let the enemies count them. No, they sat at home. Where they are away from the truth and hence they are not counted as the truth. Allah is saying to the Prophet, Wala Husalli. He's saying that Wala Husalli Allah Ahadin Minhum Mata Abadan Wala Taqum Allah Habri. He says, and do not stand by their graves.
Do not even stand
by their graves. They don't even deserve that much for you. If they didn't have the shame to come forward, the hayat, to come forward and stand with you, how can you go there and stand by their graves? This was Allah's command to the Prophet. These are those people who sit down and are irrelevant to the haq. Who are non-relevant. They are just sitting down in the comfort of their lives. You see that? Allahu Akbar. Allah then says, إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. They have rejected Allah and His Messenger. Right? وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. And they are wicked. So you see the attitude Allah shows here to those who sit down. Who are these people who are in their homes and not doing work when Allah asks them to come forward? You see, what happens? You know, and here we see they ask the Prophet, he's saying, you know, that they ask the Prophet for permission, right? When they go to war, they ask them for permission, right? And to do what? Right? He says, you know, that they ask the permission to sit with their wives and children. Right? And the old and weak people in homes. And these are young men. You see that? They are young men and they are in their homes with their children and wives. You know? While they are young men, when they should be out with the Prophet and they see the Prophet in the heat in the battlefield.
No respect. No respect.
I mean, imagine, if your leader is in the battlefield.
Lord of mercy.
If your leader is in the battlefield, and if your leader is in the midst of the enemies, and he's in danger of being killed, as a young man, what are you doing at home in the bosom of your wife?
Lord of mercy.
What kind of a man are you that you're going to let your leader be in the midst of the enemies, and you sit with the weak? Imagine, what kind of faith is that? What kind of iman is that you let that happen? Well, this is what you're doing. When you're saying to the Prophet, you go ahead, inshallah, we'll stay at home. This is your leader. This is the messenger of Allah. You're letting him go there. I mean, imagine. My brothers, you know, I remember not too long ago, few years ago, when the leader of the Muslims, you know, Ayatollah Khamenei, he was looking at the people and their attitude. He said, you know, if none of you go to fight, I will go and fight myself.
SubhanAllah.
You know? And the fact is that this should be a source of shame for us, that what is wrong with us, the young men, that the leader is saying that he'll go alone to fight, and what is wrong with us, have we become so weak that we sit with our wives and kids and the old people at home?
Ya Allah.
Right, you know, while the leader is in the midst of enemies?
Teach us.
Imagine this. This is a source of shame for us. That nation is worthless that lets its leader die and they watch him die.
Oh my Lord. Ya Hussein.
The leader stands up to fight and you see this nation sits at home. What sort of a nation is that? What sort of an ummah is that? You see, those people who sit at home, this is what they do.
Lord.
And they think that, you know what, Allah, we're not offending anyone. Alhamdulillah, we are at home. You know, we are at home, we are not offending anyone. And alhamdulillah, everything is happy. And Allah is saying, you are a kafir.
Who will is their God?
Right? Imagine this. Now, whoever the God is, right, at least Allah is not their God. You know, Allah, they can take the name of Allah, they can pray to Allah, they can fast, they can do what they want. Allah is saying, you let the Prophet go to his death in the way of the battle, alone, and you sit at home. How can you do that? I mean, when you said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, there is a commitment that you are going to protect the cause of Allah and Muhammad. What happened with that commitment? It means that there was never a commitment.
That's what
there was
means.
Never a commitment. When you make a commitment, it means that you stand up and defend your leader. You stand up and defend your leader. This is what it means. My brothers, understand this. And we see that, you know, Imam Ali did not just say these words to these people. Or, you know, for example, here Allah is speaking and we'll see Imam Ali also speak the same words to his people who sit down. But I want you to see the example of Ali. He showed the example before he spoke.
SubhanAllah.
You see, he gave a commitment to the Prophet. I mean, he was only 10 years old. He gave the commitment to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, I believe that you are the messenger of Allah.
SubhanAllah.
I believe you are the messenger of Allah. Now when he made that commitment, you see, anywhere the Prophet went, Ali went like a shadow with him. Ali went like a shadow with him, to the extent that went the men, because they didn't want to do anything to the Prophet because of tribal conflicts. So they would send the children to throw stones at the Prophet. Right? They were sent children to throw stones at the Prophet. So what happened is that when the Prophet was hurt and Imam Ali heard that the children are throwing stones at the Prophet, he came behind the Prophet. And when the children came out again to throw the stones, this time the Prophet wasn't alone. They saw Ali was there. And he was throwing back those stones at them so hard that their bones were breaking. Their bones were breaking. In fact, it left such an impression on them. These kids, imagine this. it left such an impression on them that the same kids, when they grew up, they came out to fight the Muslims in Badr and Uhud. When they saw Ali coming, they said, "That's the person who broke our bones." You see, when you make a commitment to your leader, then you stick by his side and you are like a shadow on him so that nothing ever happens to him. This is, my brothers, that iman. And those who sit at home, and say, oh, you're going where? Where are you going? Oh, to do Islamic work? Okay, you know, you go ahead. I'll stay at home, you know. What's that? You know, what kind of faith is that? This is, my brothers, this is what it means. Those people who sit at home are worse than those people who went with Imam Ali and they made problems for him. I mean, those people who went with him, at least they were with him. I mean, no matter with what attitude, with what face, whatever they came with, they came. Sluggish, slow, lazy and dull, yes they were, but they were there. You know, see, that's the reason a student who comes to class and is lazy is better than that who never comes to class. At least he's there. You know, at least he's there. He might learn through dissemination, you know, through what do you call that? Osmosis. That's by being there. He learned something, right? But if you're not even there, you don't even give yourself the chance to learn. You don't avail yourself the chance to learn something if you don't even come. That's the reason. Those who stay at home, good they stay at home. But you see, those who come to the masjid, those who come to Allah's house, those who come to the place where knowledge is being given, at least, no matter what attitude they come with, they're much better than those who are sitting at home and not doing anything. Because at least over here, by being with Muslims, they might learn something. Just by being with someone, you might learn something. And even if you don't, just by your presence over here, at least the people feel that the lines are bigger.
Yes.
At least by your presence, you make the line bigger. But if you don't come at all, you know, so now what happens? You are a sitter. Someone who sits at home. A sleeper. We heard what Allah said about them. This is in Surah At-Tawbah. Inshallah, we'll go into what Imam Ali alayhi salam had said in Najibullah about them tomorrow. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us His helper when He comes. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ سَلَامٌ
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ.
Yes, sir. Hates me and no one loves me too much. No one hates me too much, yeah. Well, the fact is that, you know, okay, there's a question over there that's coming, so if you can take the question. First question is that Imam Ali had said that there are two people who will be destroyed on my account. Those who hate me and those who love me too much. Right? Well, here we see that yes, those who are exaggerate themselves and they, for example, see, the only way you exaggerate Ali is that, again, as I said yesterday, Ali is the means to Allah, he's the wasila to Allah. The hadaf is Allah, the goal is Allah, the wasila, the means is Ali. If you change the wasila to the hadaf and make Ali the hadaf, then this is wrong. And Imam Ali says those who do that will be destroyed. When they don't make Allah the hadaf and Allah the goal, and they make